thank you. It's always good to be on with the legendary voice of the Nittany Lions.
Thanks, Merrill. I appreciate that. Oh, so I have to ask you now. It's a relatively small sample size, but you got a long look at Jalen Hurts. When you looked at him, is it too small a sample size, but is it enough to tell you whether he's got it to be a starting quarterback in the NFL?
I firmly believe he has it to become a starting quarterback in the NFL. If he were in this draft, I wouldn't be surprised if he would be the second quarterback taken. That's how good I think he is. I've watched him. My eyes really opened up when I watched him last summer when we were allowed into training camp, and I saw the way he delivers, the way he picks up everything, the way the players seem to gravitate towards him. He moves fluidly. He's got a big arm. I've heard people question his arm strength. Believe me, he has a gun. He can throw every pass you have to throw. And I think what he needs is some good people around him. He needs protection, and he just needs a little bit of time and coaching. But I think I really do, Steve, believe that Jalen Hurts is their quarterback of the future. I think he can be another Dak Prescott, if not better.
Well, what's interesting, and that's why I started with that, and the reason I started with that is you're talking, now I know Wentz's numbers are still on for this year, but then after that it falls off the books. That means the Eagles will have a starting quarterback making a second-round draft pick salary, right, which works to their benefit. So does this now, because they have that kind of confidence, does it open up a lot of doors as to the number of players they can bring in to start filling gaps?
Yeah, I think it does. I think that's a very good point. I think it does. And I think it's a very important thing that they bolster that receiving core and give him targets who they can separate, make certain that the offensive line is solid. Don't forget, look, Carson Wentz had a bad season last year, and he did a lot of things wrong on his own. I mean, they say he had 50 sacks, and that probably 25 of them at least were the fault of Carson Wentz simply holding the ball too long. But that being said, in 16 games, they also had 15 different offensive line combinations. You can't do that and expect any quarterback to succeed.
And that's what I've told people. I said, name the Hall of Fame offensive lineman that's played in front of Tom Brady. There aren't any. But they've all been really good. Well,
yeah.
The Eagles have a really good offensive line when everybody's there. But when they're on the sideline,
when everybody's
watching
there, and you line up with Lane Johnson at right tackle, and you end up with Brandon Brooks at right guard, who might be their best offensive lineman, you line up with the mummer, Jason Kelce at center, Siamalu at left guard, and Jordan Mailata, who is just getting better and better over at left tackle. I think that's a very good offensive line. But the question is, you have Lane Johnson coming in off of ankle surgery. Now, supposedly they got it right this time, and he's going to heal and be fine. You have Brandon Brooks coming off of another serious injury, but he says he's ready to go, or will be. Kelce just goes on and on. I mean, I could probably name 12 injuries, but he plays with them anyhow. Siamalu seems to be durable, and Mailata has had some back spasms in the past, but last year it didn't seem to affect him.
So you mentioned wide receiver. Draft capital was spent last year in the first round on Jalen Reagor. Limited sample size again, but do you see him as a long-term NFL receiver?
If we could look into a crystal ball and tell me about the injury picture, I would give you a better idea. From a talent standpoint, I think the answer is yes. But as Buddy Ryan used to say, durability is as important as ability. And last year he missed quite a few games. He got hurt in training camp, broke some ribs, but was back by the start of the season, and then was injured again and missed 5 games. So but I think, you know, I agree. I mean, everybody knows that they would have been wise to draft Justin Jefferson ahead of Jalen Reagor. We know that. That's a given. But that doesn't mean Jalen Reagor isn't a talented football player. In fact, I think he is. I think he's a very talented football player. And I think that a healthy Jalen Reagor on one side and a newly acquired wide receiver from Alabama on the other side would give the Eagles a tremendous threat. And, of course, I like Greg Ward in the slot. He's always open. He always catches the ball. Mm-hmm. And they have a couple of other young players they picked up last year whose futures have yet to be entrenched, and that's John Hightower and Quez Watkins. So we'll see what that does. But I think with one more burner on the other side of Rager, I think you could turn what was a so-so situation into a real strength.
So for you, what are some? Give me three priorities over the next 3 days that, in watching the team, you'd like to see the Eagles address.
Three priorities. Well, when you talk about priorities for this team, I think you can start. And we're just talking about priorities. I say cornerback is the number one priority. That doesn't mean you have to take a corner in the first round, but that is a priority. Defensive line is a second priority because you need help there. I mean, Brandon Graham is moving into the twilight of his career. Fletcher Cox is either at the outside of his prime or just past his prime. He didn't have a wonderful year. I think you always, always need depth on the offensive line. This team never seems to address linebacker, but they have to. Mm-hmm. And you know, wide receiver, as I said, is always out there. If you look at it on paper, it doesn't fit as one of those priorities, but it's an area that could be bolstered and change the entire offense. And they have one other priority, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them use a sixth-round or seventh-round draft choice on this, and that is punter. Remember, mm-hmm. they lost one of the best punters in football, Cam Johnston. And they've got to replace him. They have someone on the roster right now named Aaron Sipos, and your guess about what he's all about is as good as mine. I've never seen him punt a ball. Yeah. So yeah, I know neither, he's a free agent with the Lions for a bit. That's about all. But he's basically an unknown. And as a special teams coach by the name of Bobby April told me a lot of years ago, he said the player who has the greatest effect on a defense is the punter, because with one swing of his leg, he can change field position by 60 yards.
And Bobby April's one of the legendary special teams coaches out there. I mean, legendary. Mm-hmm. What kind of read, like, he hasn't coached a single game yet, but just personality-wise and so forth, what kind of read do you have on Nick Sirianni?
Well, personality-wise, he's terrific. I think when he was introduced in his initial press conference, that was kind of shaky. He was wide-eyed, and it did not seem at ease. But I had an opportunity to do a one-on-one Zoom conference with him, and the Eagles set it up. And I took a notepad, and they wrote five or six different areas that I wanted to get into, some of the things you talked about the offensive line, about the passing game that they're going to use, things of that nature. I never got to any of them because he came on the Zoom and said, "Hey, Merle, how's it going?" And an hour and 10 minutes later, we were still telling stories and talking about people that we knew in common, about Bruce Arians, about everything else. And I was really impressed with his warmth, his communication skills, his love for the game, and just his overall bearing. He just loves football, has come from a football family, and is thankful and grateful and excited about this opportunity. So I like him. But, of course, we know that to judge a coach, you can't do it on personality and on one-on-one conversations. You have to see how he reacts when it's fourth and one and the ball is at your own 40-yard line and the game is on the line. You have to see, how the players respond to him. I have a feeling the players are going to respond just fine to him. I mean, I've been, Doug Peterson, players love Doug Peterson, and yet mm-hmm. he had a real feeling of authority. And on the other hand, we went through the Chip Kelly era where, I mean, he communicated with basically nobody. He was the poorest communicator I've ever been around as far as a coach is concerned. And even though he got off to a great start with a unique system, ultimately that cost him. Nobody cared. I had assistant coaches coming up to me and saying, "Did I do anything wrong?" I said, "No, why?" they'd say, "Well, Chip isn't talking to me." So I think from that standpoint, I think he's going to be just fine. I think Nick will be just fine in that area, but we have to wait and see to judge a coach.
Aren't those the fun conversations, though, Merrill, where you have some questions you want to ask, and then it goes off script, and you end up learning more about the person anyway?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think he's a terrific guy, and I think he's got a bright young staff. Jonathan Gannon, defensive coordinator. He's been around as a defensive coach. Anxious to see him. They held on to, I think, the best coach on the staff. They held on to Jeff Stoutland, who was a great offense. I mean, Alabama would take him back in a second.
No doubt.
That's the one good thing Chip did. He brought him in here with him. He did a few good things. He drafted Lane Johnson. He drafted drafted Zach Ertz. But overall, it ended disastrously. But I think when you bring in a Jeff Stoutland, you have a chance to have a real good offensive line because he's a fabulous teacher and the players really respond to him.
This is about the league in general. Obviously, last year they did expand the playoffs, and of course now they're expanding the season as expected. I mean, it was there they could go to a 17th game, and you knew they would the first opportunity they had. How do you feel about that?
Personally, I love it. From a personal standpoint, wouldn't all of us like to do one less preseason game and one
you
more game
that right.
counts?
Yeah.
And wouldn't the fans feel that way? As a player, I would never have permitted it. I would have voted vigorously and campaigned vigorously against it when it came up with the Players Association having to agree to a contract, because I honestly believe that in this game, Steve, they take such a pounding. And they don't in the preseason because the starters hardly play. And I thought 16 was quite enough. I mean, when I started, it was 14. Now it's 16. And we know it's not going to stop at 17. It's going to go to 18. And all I think of is how much battering can a body take?
And I absolutely agree with that answer, because I remember years ago they proposed the possibility of 18. And it got shot down by the players right away. And I completely understand why, because, look, you get to week 12, it's like being in one car wreck after another for these guys.
Yeah, look, I remember doing a show one time with John Madden, and he honestly, and he really ardently believed that they shouldn't go to overtime, that that's when more injuries happen, because they're tired. They're going beyond the four quarters. He thought there should be ties. Just end it right then and there. Four quarters of football is enough. And but look, we live in a world where money talks, and for extra money, players are willing to take the extra punishment. And a lot of them will end up regretting it when they're 50 years old and having trouble getting out of the chair.
Absolutely agree. Remember the part I said earlier about, you know, playing questions versus having just a great conversation? That's what we ended up having. No surprise.
It's always fun to be on with you.
Same here, Merrill. Thank you so much, and appreciate
can I ask you a question?
Please, ask all you want.
Okay. My feeling is that the Eagles will take, if depending who slips through, either Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Patrick Surtain, or J.C. Horn. Okay, the two corners of the two wide receivers, whichever slips through. But if they stay at number 12, and if Micah Parsons is there, should they take him?
Yes, because you're talking about you talked about linebacker being an issue. So he obviously can play linebacker and edge rusher. So he brings to the table incredible quickness, as you saw by the 4.39 he ran in his 40 on pro day. He brings great strength. But here's what else he brings to the table. When you're a guy that, as you and I both know, Merrill, that guys go from safety to outside linebacker, they go from outside linebacker maybe to a defensive end as they transition in their careers. Rarely did they go back from the line of scrimmage. And that's what Micah Parsons did from high school to college, which meant he had to learn how to play in space. You have to have work ethic and intelligence to do what he did in 2 years. And that's what he's going to bring to the table. He is very, very smart. He works very, very hard. He already has his degree, by the way, here at Penn State.
Oh, does he? He does.
Yes. He already has his degree. He is a very smart individual and a walk-on player. This is a walk-on player. I was standing on the sideline of practice one day, and he looked at me, and Micah came by. He was on kickoff return. He came by, slapped my hand. He goes, "Hey, Mr. Jones, how you doing?" Good. He kept on going. The walk-on player looks at me, and he says, "You know, when he came here, we'd heard so many things about him. I didn't know what to expect. My goodness, what a terrific guy he is. What a great teammate." He says, "He says when you get to know him, you love him." So,
how about
yeah,
that?
So I would take him.
I will keep that in mind, Steve. I will keep that in mind. Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure interviewing you. it's always fun to get together, and anytime you want to take a few minutes and have me squawk about something or other, I'm always happy to pick up the phone and do it.
Thanks so much, Merrill. It is a true pleasure. Thank you, my friend.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.